Trend number 4, how the recession is preparing us for the future. More than 2,000 years ago, the Stoic philosophers observed that an enlightened person always finds a way to turn misfortune into opportunity. That is no less true today. The fact is, even while the headlines are screaming about a financial crisis, the economies of the United States and the world are laying the foundations for the creation of vast new wealth. Strong companies with enlightened leadership, as well as individual professionals and investors, will be able to deploy strategies that ensure they make the best use of their resources now, and then participate in the boom times when they come. As recently highlighted in the McKinsey Quarterly, timing is of the utmost importance in making the most of crises. There are some once-in-a-lifetime opportunities out there, and one looming question is when to seize them. Moving too soon could mean incurring further losses, while waiting could mean missing the opportunities altogether. This is especially true of companies considering an acquisition or a merger. The short answer seems to be that moving sooner rather than later is more likely to optimize value than waiting for a positively defined bottom. It's important to remember that when recessions have ended in the past, the stock market has rebounded by 50% to 130% over the subsequent 2 years. That suggests a need to move quickly. In an analysis done for the McKinsey Quarterly article, several scenarios were analyzed for possibilities of timing the bottom of the recession. It turned out that only perfect timing would result in better value than investing now, even if the market were to decline another 20% in the next 6 months. This would hold true for investing in stocks, for increasing research and development, or for acquiring an existing company. In any event, the future rests on restoring confidence, which is the driving force in any economy, whether it involves consumers, companies, investors, or lenders. A key element of restoring confidence is restoring the flow of credit so that companies can function. During the Great Depression, investment by corporations dropped by more than 75%. But the picture ahead can be much rosier with the right kind of policies in place. For example, between 1981 and 1983, 258 banks either failed or were bailed out. But business investment went down less than 1%. In fact, during the decade of the 1980s, despite the failure of 750 banks and the bailout of more than 1,500 others, companies increased their business investments by 4.5% a year. Fortunately for this recession, U.S. companies started out better prepared, with lower leverage and higher interest coverage than they had going into historical recessions. But according to the McKinsey Quarterly, going on the defensive is not the best way to weather the crisis. Those that identify and move on opportunities will reap the benefits going forward. To do that, the McKinsey experts recommended that companies research how different industries responded in previous recessions and what factors influenced their performance. Another step is to beef up contingency plans to prepare for the worst possible scenario, such as the need to cut costs in half or the loss of working capital. While these extremes may be unlikely, companies that have prepared for them are even better positioned to take advantage of opportunities. Another step is to have a plan for continuously identifying opportunities. Spotting companies that are in trouble or that may falter in the near future, for example, can prepare leaders to move quickly when the time comes. Companies can also take advantage of a buyer's market in talent and upgrade their roster of employees in this type of environment. Redesigning jobs and fostering more productive teamwork can make a company more efficient and better positioned to pounce on opportunities. However, it's essential to avoid undermining core competencies when attempting to cut costs. For example, according to a recent Herman Trend Alert, training should be increased, not decreased, in a downturn. When IBM was hurting in the 1980s, it continued its employee development programs so that the company was ready to turn around when Lou Gerstner took over. Research shows that during periods of high unemployment, the quality of available workers rises. Large numbers of highly educated and motivated professionals are now available who might not remain so very long. Therefore, companies that can afford to hire them now are well positioned to wind up with a better workforce at the end of this recession. Likewise, while research and development presents an attractive target for across-the-board cost-cutting, this is not the path to long-term success. A better idea is to improve the focus of that research, upgrading practices, and refine management to streamline the R&D process and eliminate unpromising avenues of research. That approach allows a company to cut costs while increasing efficiency. Identifying and speeding up the most promising projects while terminating the ones that are not likely to pan out is vital. In a recession, companies can also revamp management of R&D and institute lean principles that may have been resisted in good times. When times are hard, people are more open to new methods and to making sacrifices. And putting together lean teams to identify improvements and raise productivity can cut 8 to 10% of the R&D budget, while reducing time to market by 15%. Streamlining sales costs is also a great opportunity during a recession. This doesn't mean cutting the sales force only in the back office or across the board, both of which tend not to improve profits. Rather, it's better to make a thorough analysis of your customers to identify which are the most fruitful and what their needs are. Then, concentrate sales resources on them, while cutting back on services to customers who add less overall value. In light of this trend, the trends editors offer the following four forecasts for your consideration. First, the most successful leaders and investors of the coming years will be those who keep an eye out for the unexpected. We are now in a period of intense creative destruction where opportunities abound. In the 1970s, the so-called Nifty 50 companies were said to be invulnerable to failure. Yet they all ultimately failed to meet investor expectations. In the next few years, there will be new corporate failures every bit as disruptive as General Motors and Lehman Brothers. Companies that keep margins high and cash on hand will be better equipped to survive. With black swans emerging everywhere, contingency planning makes more sense than ever. Second, the firms that concentrate on building intellectual and human capital will now dominate the coming decade. As we've discussed, layoffs, reduced training budgets, and minimized research and development are classic knee-jerk responses to bad times. However, tomorrow's premium on innovation means that the firms that acquire and build critical knowledge and capabilities ahead of the coming skills shortage will have an enormous competitive advantage. Third, companies that use the current crisis to refocus on key customers will be able to leverage those relationships as growth returns. As everyone knows, all customers are not created equal. Customer segmentation and tailoring the business to meet the needs of those with the most profit potential will be the strategy that leads to success. Sales, advertising, customer services, and product selection can be optimized to more efficiently and effectively serve the customers who really matter. And fourth, like every recession, this one will prove highly fertile for the launch and growth of disruptive businesses. Now more than ever, the smartest executives and entrepreneurs will be rereading The Innovator's Dilemma and The Innovator's Solution. In those seminal books, Harvard professor Clayton Christensen explained why so few incumbent market leaders continue to lead in subsequent generations of technology or market evolution. Almost inevitably, a new disruptive product or business model enters the industry by first capturing marginal customers with good enough solutions. Later, the new entrant targets the incumbent's core customers with improved solutions and becomes the new industry leader. With today's emphasis on value and frugality, many markets are ripe for just such a change.